are you doing this morning? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah! The word of the God of the Lord says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we are here to praise the Lord this morning. We thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to be in your presence this morning. We are here to declare that you are Lord, you are King, you are sovereign over our lives this morning. We thank you for what you're going to do in this place. We thank you for the way our situations will be changed this morning. We give you praise. We honor your name, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Come on, church. Let's get ready to bless God this morning. He is worthy of our praise. Amen. Are you excited about giving God glory this morning? Let me hear you shout. Hallelujah. Help me walk fire. Come out higher than before. I want to be strong so I can make it without breaking or giving it up. Lift me up. Lift me up. Come on. We become what we believe in. No, not deny it. Still standing here. Come on, church, sing it with me. On a solid rock. Come on. Until the storm blows over, I'm still standing here. Sing it again. Set my feet. Set my feet on a solid rock. Let me stand on the mountaintop until the storm blows over, and I'm still standing here. Come.
knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. There is power when you speak that name. God also, the word also says that whom the Son set free is free indeed. Now, if you are free this morning, if your chains have been broken, let me hear you give him some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is worthy. We bless your name, God. You deserve the glory. Worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name, because you are great. You do miracles so great. The glory and the honor. We lift our hands.
We lift our hands in worship
as we lift.
As we lift your holy name.
You deserve
the glory
and the honor.
And the honor.
So we lift our hands.
We lift our hands in worship
as we lift.
We
declare, God, that you are great.
You do miracles so great.
There is no one else like you.
There is no one like you,
Jesus.
There is no one else like you.
Because you are great.
You, Lord. Thank you for your anointing in this place, Jesus. Thank you that your presence is in this place. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We worship you, Lord. Come on, lift your voice.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
To God be the glory. That's what it's all about this morning. Religion doesn't cut it with God. What all that matters is that we love Jesus. This morning, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He truly loves you with a love that no person on this planet can provide. And just take a moment. Let's sing that one more time. Just take a moment and tell Him that you love Him. Why don't you lift your hands to heaven? The Bible says, lift up your hands without wrath or malice. I surrender. I give myself to you, Christ. I declare I love you with an everlasting love.
Love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Talk to Him now. We love you, Jesus. We focus our hearts on you.
Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus.
What's amazing is in every other religion, they can sing they love their God or goddess. But they're dead. They can't hear them. There's no response. There's no emotional connection. In fact, one major religion, actually, there's no way. Even in their doctrine, they don't believe there's any way that you can have a relationship with their God. But I want you to know today that Jesus loves you. He loves you and cares for you when nobody else cares. You see, when you feel all by yourself, you're not all by yourself. Your Jesus loves you. All the other religions, you've got to pursue them, but God says, I'm pursuing you. Today, He loves you with an everlasting love. He adores you. Bible says He spins and dances over you. Turn to someone and say, you're pretty important this morning, aren't you? That's right, because Jesus loves you. Amen? On your way back to your chair, make sure you say, Go meet some people you don't know. Don't be a snob this morning. Go say hello to folks you don't know and say, Jesus loves you. Come on, tell some folks, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you.
Women's Encounter was designed just for you to have an encounter with God. The next one is October 27th through 29th. The cost is $325. Get your deposit to me as soon as possible. It's the only way I can save your spot. You can find me on Sunday morning or email me at carla@histabernacle.com.
Pastor Jade, did you know that God danced the day you were born?
I did, but you know what? I think he danced more the day Pastor Rhonda was born. Hey, HT, we have a very special announcement for you today.
Pastor Rhonda's birthday is coming up.
Make sure to come prepared with your birthday blessings for the mother of the house.
And plan on staying after service for cake and a birthday party.
Be there.
Jehovah. He left heaven, came to this earth just to die for me and just to die for you.
We need a revival of the Bible and people that are going to follow the truth of Jesus without shame.
What you thought that you would never flow in to an extent, the power is coming into your ministry.
When you begin to lay hands on the sick, they've got to recover, because there's the DNA of miracle power. Your body, hallelujah, for your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Rock the city. How many of you excited about Rock the City at his, for his Tabernacle Family Church? I was just meeting with the mayor this week. I actually went and prayed with him this week, and he was very excited, and it's exciting to watch the city watch us. In fact, what he wants to do is he let me know they do community meetings, and he wants us to go to the community meetings with him and actually share with the folks that come out what God is doing through his tabernacle on Wednesday nights and Thursday nights to reach the next generation before they're lost. So it's a great opportunity to share the goodness of God to our community. Amen. We're excited because God is so good. We want to welcome all of our guests today. You know, for second service, for like 2 weeks left of vacation, we're doing pretty good. First service is always packed. Second service is a little thin because everyone's on vacation. So if you're around somebody, can you turn and say, well, thank you for being here this morning. Amen. We are excited. If you're our first-time guest, we just want to say thank you for being so brave in coming to the house of God. Because it is brave. The very first time you walk into a church you've never been to before, it's like, ah, but you're going to be all right. Turn to someone and say, you're going to be all right. That's right. If you're a first-time guest, we have a present for you. We're not going to make you stand. We're not going to embarrass you or anything. But if you're a first-time guest, if you'll raise your hand, we have a gift for you we want to bless you with. Oh, very good. Very good. No, you're not all. Some of you are. Anybody over on this side? Oh, very good. Young lady right here. Hallelujah. Very good. Rick Sheets, I haven't seen Rick Sheets on the front row of church in probably 10 years. Rick, can you stand up, please? Yes. Rick, please stand up. Come on up here. Come on up. You and your bride, come on up here real quick. How many of you know Rick Sheets? Many of you might not, because you never see him. But Rick Sheets and his beautiful wife, Rick Sheets does all the editing for the TV that you see on Sunday mornings. His wife lends him to us. Really, you don't know how many hours, literally hours, it takes for days sometimes it takes for Brother Rick. He gives up so that, and no one sees him. On Sunday mornings, he's usually up in the booth. And so I just want you to give him a loud hand clap and say thank you so much for all you do for the community. We love you. Thanks for letting us have him. We love you, babe. Praise the Lord. We also want to welcome all of our online campus. What's exciting is that people literally from all over the United States, what was it? Matt, I forget his last name. Matt?
Matt Tucker was just telling me this morning that his mother and father, you might be watching right now, watch from England every week. So they're watching from England. We know the people from Dubai watch. We know people from literally all over the United States watch as well. We have folks that live 5 miles down the road. They watch every week too. We just like to encourage you to come. Amen. Can we give our online campus a hand clap this morning and say thank you so much for being part of the family of God? You are. I mean, you're home, but you're here. We thank you. And I just want to encourage you, for our local, get here. The anointing is stronger. The presence of God is stronger. It's good online, but it's gooder in the house. That's my own word. Gooder. Turn to someone and say, that's a good word. Gooder. Amen. You didn't like it? Okay. Go ahead, Rhonda.
It's not a word. Good morning. We had such a special gift this morning. This is the year of kingdom seed, correct? Amen. So Pastor did a message where he gave every single person a seed. Well, we had one lady take her seed. Her name is Susan. She took her seed and she planted it, she said, in the best soil. She tended to it. She nurtured it. She took care of it. And that one little seed grew up and had 4 ears of corn in it. And then she took the 2 ears of corn and gave them to people that could use them and bless them with it, kept one for herself. And then she brought one for Pastor this morning. And we're going to take this corn cob and we're going to dry this. And so we have hundreds of seeds now from that one little seed. You see, seed time and harvest shall not pass away. Whatever you sow, you will reap a harvest from. Amen?
Amen.
Whatever you sow. And as we enter into this time of tithes and offerings this morning, if you sow obedience to God's word with joy and celebration, it says not to give grudgingly. Don't give grudgingly, give with joy, because what measure you give, it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And those are promises from the Word of God. And it is such a privilege to be a part of a church that is such a generous church that has impacted our community and brought change to our community. It is a privilege to be a part of such a generous church, to know that my finances, when I put that in that plate, that is seed, and that's going to go out, and that's going to produce a harvest, 30, 60, 100 fold. And if we tend it, if we're obedient, we put it in good ground and we tend it, it will produce 100 fold. Amen. Are you ready to give this morning? Plant your seed of obedience into the ground. Stand to your feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration. This is simply the Bible. It's found in Deuteronomy 28, and it says, if you'll repeat after me, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and your offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, click on the giving button and give right along with us.
Shining brighter, believing through the storm. Church, we are so excited to announce the what's been happening with Rock the City. We've made some progression, and we just want to tell you guys about an opportunity that you have to make some donations. And my wife is going to do it because she says, I did it bad last time.
All right. How many of you go to a hotel and you take home the little shampoos and the soaps and the conditioners? Let's be honest, we're in church, right? All right. So what we're doing is for Rock the City, we are making home care bags. And we are going to be putting in conditioner, soaps, sanitary products for the ladies. So what we need is donations, please. If you have these things at home or are wanting to buy, we're accepting. We need especially women's deodorant. We have a ton of men's deodorant, so that's what we need. We're going to have a box out front from next week, and so we'll be collecting. So thank you very much. This is an awesome opportunity
to give out at Rock the City. So we're putting together 300 packs for Rock the City. And I got in trouble for talking long last time, so I'm going to do this real quick. How many of you guys are out of high school, the 30 years old? Raise your hand. Give me a shout. Do something. Listen, we have a service for you on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock. And so you don't want to miss out. There's tons of relationships and friends that you can make. We'll see you this Tuesday at 6.
What a pitch. My goodness, huh? You pitched that one quick. We're excited. This is our second week of receiving offerings for Rock the City. We want to remind you the next week will be the last week that we're receiving offerings. We had a visiting pastor here this morning, and his church has given $1,000 to Rock the City. He just told me that right after first service. And so that's another church that's actually saying we want to participate with a life-changing opportunity. It'll be Tuesday night, which Terry Shuttlesworth will be preaching. Wednesday night, Tim Shuttlesworth will be preaching. Thursday night, Teddy Shuttlesworth will be preaching. Friday night, what's his name? He's the only non-T. Jonathan will be preaching. And then on Saturday night, Brother Tiff will be preaching. We'll be giving away a car, 2 50-inch televisions. We'll be giving away bill pay, helping people pay their bills. It is just going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome week. So I just want to encourage you, be ready. And this is our second week. We're going to be sowing to it. For those who are ready, let's all stand to our feet. For those who are ready, whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to give, we have one more week. Last week, $4,000 came in. This is a $40,000 outreach. Everybody say $40,000. It's a $40,000 outreach. That's what it costs to make this kind of stuff happen, to reach our community and love them. So make sure that whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do, you be obedient. Because we know if everyone obeys, whatever everybody gives, as the leading of the Spirit, we know it'll be all taken care of. Are you ready to give? Amen? Why don't you just come and bless the Lord with your Rock the City seed this morning.
Here we come, we believe in, not denying who we are. On, we're shining brighter, believing through the storm. We're standing unshakable. We become who we believe in, not denying who we are. We're living unshakable. Lights on, we're shining brighter. The storm, we're standing unshakable.
Hallelujah. You know, there's nothing better than reaching souls for Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Listen, if you've never led your friend to Christ, my goodness, it is so addicting to lead someone to Jesus. I challenge you to be a soul winner. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to be a soul winner. Do you realize if everybody led one person to Jesus a year, just one soul a year, that God's kingdom, oh my goodness, can you imagine where we'd be next year? We'd be over 1,500 on every single Sunday morning. And then the next year, in 2 years, we'd be over 3,000 souls every single Sunday morning. And in 3 years, we'd be at 6,000 souls. And then at 4 years, we'd be at 12,000 souls. And then at 5 years, just within 5 years, we would be 24,000 souls if everybody just led one person to Jesus a year. Now, I don't know about you, that's pretty exciting. How many of you wouldn't mind being a soul winner? Snatching somebody from hell. Man, that's the exciting part, the power of Jesus. This is the year of? I just want to give you a little announcement. I'm excited. My mother and my stepfather just moved last week. And so actually, last Sunday, right after service, my family got in our vehicles, drove out to Massachusetts, and we moved my mother. Can you guys stand up and wave to everybody? My mother and my stepfather. Grandpa Al has lived in New Hampshire for 936 years. And it's the first time ever living outside. So I thank God they've moved here. They live in Elmira Heights area. And I'm excited to have them here, part of the ministry. They can't wait to put their hand to the plow. My Uncle Harold and Aunt Queenie, they're here. Can you guys stand? They moved from Massachusetts last year. Actually, New Hampshire, right? And then Zach. Zach, stand up. There we go. Very good. And then he snatched one of our girls. They've had a baby. What's that? Yeah, we've got just tons of family. I just want to welcome all of the folks that we have a ton of folks that have moved from New Hampshire, Massachusetts to come here for one reason, and that is to be part of the church. And it's exciting to see that God is moving in a powerful manner. Amen? So this is the year of kingdom seed. If the Bible makes the declaration, seek ye, seek ye, seek ye. The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. How God's principle is that God wants you blessed and not cursed. Turn to someone and say, God wants you blessed. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to increase. Listen now, there's a whole group of folk out there that say, well, I don't believe. And I had a young man come to me one time and he said, Pastor, I don't believe in that prosperity gospel. I believe they're all false prophets. I said, that's very interesting. I said, where are you learning your stuff? And he gave me the name of the book that he was reading. And this guy in his book said, you know, all prosperity, that's the bad gospel. It's an evil gospel and it's not the truth. And I said, have you ever figured out where he lives? I said, he lives in New Jersey, by the way. He lives in a $1 million house and drives multiple cars that are worth over $100,000. So he's prospering over telling people not to prosper. It's amazing to me how many people buy lies and don't believe in the Bible. I've never seen God sit back and decrease his believers, his sons and daughters. He wants to increase you. Turn to someone and say, I believe in the power of prosperity. Somebody said to me, well, I don't believe it, Pastor. And I said, the next time you get a raise, give it to the church. Well, I don't know about that. You see, we all believe in increase in prosperity. There's only one area that I'm praying against prosperity in my life, and that is my belly, because I don't want to buy any more suits. Amen. You see, I believe that God and the Word so declares. I've never seen one of the patriarchs that was poor. In fact, I was just reading the other day with the children of Israel after Joseph died. They were in Egypt, if you remember. And the Bible said after Joseph died, they were exceedingly prosperous that the Egyptians got nervous. You see, God wants to put you in a position where you will have a level of authority and a voice and a platform. And that means God wants to increase you, prosper you in the area of influence that you have, so that when you speak, the voice and the words of God will be heard loud and clear. For without a platform, your voice has no momentum. Are you out there this morning? So this whole last year, we talked about kingdom, how God's kingdom is different from the world, how God's kingdom is different from the church. God never called you to have church mentality. God never called you to have religious mentality. God called you to have kingdom mentality, because the kingdom is a true place, a real place, and God's kingdom has a constitution called the Word of God, and God's kingdom runs, which is supernatural, above the natural world. The problem is that most believers don't know anything about the kingdom, so therefore they can only live Christian. God didn't call you a Christian. What? Are you like, don't mess with my religion, preacher. God never once called you a Christian. That was actually a term that was generated in the city of Antioch. And it was not a nice statement. It was a demeaning statement. You see, who God called you to be is a son and daughter of the Most High King. Who God
called you to be is an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven. He's called you to be a king and a priest. He's called you to be a son and a daughter. He's called you to be prince and princess. He's called you to be one who will change this world. You are the salt. You are the light. You are the one that he has placed in this position at this very moment of time to bring transition through the world, through Christ to the world. You are important. Turn to someone and say, you are important. You see, this whole thing, we talked about the very first main principle found in the scripture, and that is kingdom seed. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if a man sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter whether you're born again. It doesn't matter whether you're the greatest sinner. There's one truth that will always remain, and that seed time and harvest will always work. Seed time and harvest will always be part of your life. No matter what you do, you're going to have a harvest from the seeds that you are planting. When we truly get a hold of that as believers, then everything changes in our life. Our thought process changes. Our time consumption changes. Our words change. Our heart changes, for that's where the seed lies. You see, we must be people that believe that the word of God is yea and amen. And when we do, everything will change in our lives. When we don't, then we will slide into a delusion that seed time and harvest don't really work. But yet the reality is, whatever you sow, you shall reap. You see, this is a powerful truth. I found myself this week, we were believing for something. My wife and I are believing for something. And it just wasn't happening this week. And I heard my head rattle around a thought that said, well, maybe this isn't the time. Maybe this isn't going to work. And I felt my spirit rebuke me and saying, why are you changing your conversation? Why are you allowing words that should not be in your head to remain? You see, we have authority over every thought, for the word of God declares, take every thought and bring it into captivity that raises itself up against God. There's a truth that must remain, and that God's word is above all words, and God's word is what we stand on. It is yea and amen. Our verse for the year is found in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. You shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever, everybody shout whatever, he does shall prosper. See, this is what God's plan for your life is. And many of us as believers have found that we're not prospering. Many believers are not prospering. Many believers, thank God, are born again. Can I hear an amen? How many of you got the blood of Jesus wash your sins away? Amen. But the fact is that many believe just that far. And they still live the same way they used to live. And so even though they know Christ as their Savior, they're going to reap a harvest that is not going to be prosperous. Therefore, their life is going to always be substandard. You see, God wants to raise you to a place of that influence. And that means that you and I have to recognize that seed time and harvest truly will come to pass. And when we do, in our life and living it, our lives will be changed because our speech will be different. Our thoughts will be different. Everything we do will be different. The Bible says in 3 John verse 2, it says this, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. What's it mean, all? How many wouldn't mind prospering in all things? How many of you wouldn't mind prospering in your family, better relationships in your family? How many of you wouldn't mind prospering in your health? How many of you hate sickness? How many of you wouldn't mind being healthy all the time? Amen. How many of you wouldn't mind being prosperous or blessed in your finances? Having more than enough to be able to give to every need that comes their way. Every one of us want to be prosperous in our relationship with Jesus. How many of you want to prosper in your relationship with the Lord? I mean, talking like every single thing that we do, we're believing that God will prosper us. And that's the prayer of John. He made this declaration. Beloved, above all things, I pray that you prosper and be in good health. God wants you to prosper in everything. But there's a key here. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. What this verse says is this, is that if your soul isn't prospering, those other areas can't either.
Now, it doesn't mean you can't be born again, and this is where most believers are. They're born again. They know if they take their last breath, they're going to be with Christ. But God didn't just save you to just get saved. If God saved you just to get saved, then you die the moment you're born again. And it's really hard growing a church that way. He saved you because you've got a divine destiny. You've got a divine purpose that only actually you can fulfill. If you don't do it, then somebody's going to be lost for all of eternity. So many say and wonder, well, what's my purpose? What's my destiny in life? And God is saying, listen now, this is where you got to wrap yourself around this principle of seed time and harvest. Because when we recognize how imperative our lives are and what the points, what the gifts are that he put within our lives, then we can start being used for his glory. But if we believe that we're just to get saved, then we just become a little church doing a little religious thing. But God has called you to be an individual that will prosper and be healthy. So many believers are unhealthy. I'm not talking people in the world. I'm talking believers. I'm talking people that have been saved, washed by the blood of Christ. They are unhealthy people. I'm not talking physical health. I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Now, many of you have already been in this teaching. And if you've been in rock solid faith, everybody here should be in rock solid faith. Amen. You know the difference between your spirit, your soul, and your body. The Bible says that you and I are different from animals. I'm sure you've heard people say, well, we're just another animal on the planet. And that is a lie from hell. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, that you and I have been created in the image of God. Who is God? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They are three, yet one. You see, you and I have been created in the very image of God. The Bible declares in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, God is not a man. God is a spirit. And wherever he is, there he is, which is everywhere. Amen? For he is omnipresent in all places at all times. And God in his omnipotence and that's all powerful, in his process, he has said you and I, being created in his image, we too are made up of three parts. We have a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. A spirit, the Bible says, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're sitting in the hearing of my voice this morning, and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that you're dead. Well, I don't feel dead, but the Bible says that you are. What do you mean? That your spirit man is not alive. If your spirit man is not alive, then you cannot be saved. For the Bible declares that with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. When you confess the Lord Christ as your Savior, he then comes in to your spirit by his Holy Spirit, and you now become the temple of the Holy Ghost. You see, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, your spirit, which you have and is eternal, is dead and will participate what is called with the second death. That is, the Bible declares in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the great white throne judgment, and the dead shall give up, and there they shall all be judged, and the judgment that will come will be life transforming. Why? Because if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you should be cast into the lake of fire. That is the reality of sowing and reaping. If you don't sow towards Christ, then you will die and reap your harvest, a separation from Christ. So you and I are both spirit. Animals aren't spirit. They're a dichotomous. They have a soul and a body. But every human is a trichotomous being. We have a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. Your soul is your intellect, your emotions, and your will. In fact, before you were born again, you lived continually out of your soulish man. You made decisions according to your emotions. You made decisions according to how you think. For as a man thinks, so he is. You made decisions according to your will, not God's will, but whatever you desired. That's the soulish man. Now, when you get born again, your spirit becomes perfect because the Holy Spirit dwells inside. But your soulish man is what is transformed by the Word of God. And that's where many people are struggling in their walk with Jesus. You see, every one of us have a physical body. If you have a physical body, pinch the person next to you, please. Your physical body is nothing more than a slave, either to your spirit or to your soul. The challenge with most believers is we get saved, we give our hearts to Jesus, but we never allow the Holy Ghost to control our soul. And so what happens is we live out of our own intellect. We live out of our own emotions, and we live out of our own thoughts. And God is saying that you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God. So here we are as believers. You love Jesus. You're saved, but you aren't prospering, and you're not prospering because you're a person that does not allow your soul to be restored. You don't allow your soul to be changed. You don't allow your soul to break off from evil. You don't allow your soul to be transformed by Christ. And this is where many believers are. Love the Lord, but you have no prosperity in your life. Your finances stink. Your relationships stink. Your heart is full of holes. You walk around wounded all the time. And Jesus didn't save you to be the walking wounded. He called you to be the walking givers of life. You and I are the ones that have the words of life. You and I are the ones that should show life. You and I are the ones that have the words of eternal life. You and I are the ones who have the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. And it's time for the church to get healthy in our soul. It's time for us to be transformed and renewed in our soul. Turn to someone and say, you deserve to be healthy. You see, what's amazing is every one of us in this room have not only received wounds. How many of you have ever been wounded before in your soul? You've had your feelings hurt. Every one of us. How many of you have ever hurt somebody? If you didn't, you just lied, you're going to hell. Fact is that every one of us have been wounded, and every one of us have wounded. The challenge with many believers is that they've never allowed healing to come to their wounds. It's so much easier to submerge them, to throw them in a little closet, to not address them, than to allow God to transform you. And it's time for us to get a hold of this seed of truth. And that is, if we will allow the Holy Spirit to get in and start to meddle, even in those corners that nobody else knows about, that God will start to transition you. He'll start to heal you. He'll start to bring and bind up those wounds that you have, that you even received decades ago. See, everybody in this room has somehow experienced the daggers of gossip. You've experienced somebody who you love and trusted. They came up behind you and just started stabbing you in the back with their words. Somebody and everybody in this room at some point in time has dealt with a rejection. Whether it's rejection from your friends, rejection from your family. My wife and I just watched that movie, God's Not Dead 2, last night. I've never seen God's Not Dead 1, but I liked God's Not Dead 2, so maybe I'll go back and watch the 1. But it was interesting, there was a young man from China, and he was excited, got saved, and his father rejected him and said, "You are no longer my son." We had a young lady in my Bible college, she was from the Jewish background, and she gave her heart to Jesus, she became a Messianic Jew. When she chose to go to Bible school, this is what happened in her life. Her family literally, not figuratively, literally had a funeral for her. They had a casket, and they did a normal Jewish burial for her. And they looked her in the eyes and said, "We no longer have a daughter, you're dead." All because she accepted Christ as her Savior. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of sting of rejection doesn't sit on the surface, but goes down deep in the heart. And many of us, whether it be from your family or whether it be from your friends or whether it even be from the church, you've experienced some level of rejection. You've experienced some level that somebody has turned away from you and it's wounded you in your heart. Many people, though, they keep it hidden and don't tell anybody. Listen, I'm talking to the men right now. You can be as cool as you want to. You can be as powerful as you want to. But those kind of stings don't matter whether you're a woman, whether you're tall, whether you're short, whether it doesn't matter who you are, it still hurts. And unless you're willing to deal with these things, man, you just walk around wounded all the time. You know, after a while, you got to make some choices to get healthy. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about you and I need to get back down to our own little heart and find out why we're acting the way we're acting. Because the wounds that you and I experience that we submerge and we don't deal with now literally control our lives. They demand where you go. They demand where you don't go. They demand who you hang with. They demand your expression when you're talked to. Some of you, because of the rejection from your own family, you no longer, you have never let your spouse in any closer than that. Just close enough. See, these are the issues that the church don't like to talk about because it's not real spiritual. But it is real spiritual. Some of you dealt with absolute abandonment. Maybe you never had a dad. Maybe your mom left you at a young age. She left you with your grandma and she just abandoned you. I know parents of the children just abandoned them, and I know it's vice versa. I don't care who you are, man. That hurts. And it goes deep down into your soulish man. And there's a necessity to start dealing with that. There are folks in this room, you've dealt with divorce. Maybe your spouse went out and committed adultery on you. Maybe they just don't talk to you. Not just you experiencing this sting of divorce, but many of you are children from divorce. And you know, many parents think, well, you know, my kids will get over it. I don't care who you are. When your parents split up, one of the things I've seen as a pastor is that even though they might not like both parents, they want their parents back together. The wounds that are experienced that are deep down inside through the power of divorce, we've got to sit back and realize that some of you are still dealing with those stings. You're still dealing with those wounds. You're still dealing with those situations. And hiding them in the closet doesn't change the fact that they're there. Some of you have dealt with death. Maybe death from a parent. Death from a spouse. You almost grieved, but now you're still dealing with this loss and you're not sure how to deal with it and you're not sure how to handle it, and now you're walking around wounded, and every time somebody would try to get close to you, you push them away because you're afraid that you're going to lose them too. Some of you have had bad church experiences, church abuse, pastors that have sat down and torn you up, ripped you up. I've sat in churches, I sat in church services where I was the topic. I was the second row. And I'm not talking when I was a kid, I'm talking as a pastor. I had this pastor that didn't like me. I used to go to his church. And it was funny. We would talk during the week, and then that was the topic of the sermon. And everybody knew he was preaching about me. Everybody knew he was talking about me. We had a young lady that I don't know if she's still here or not, but she came to the church, and she came here, and we introduced ourselves, and she told us the reason she was coming. She went to another church, and she was a single ma, and she had her baby, and the baby started crying during the service, and the pastor looked at her and said, "Shut the kid up and get out." So she stopped going to church there. Duh. I thank God she was willing to enter another church, amen, where she was shown that love. We love babies in this house, amen. We love the little children. Some pastors, man, they're just vicious and mean. Some churches are filled with cliques and people are unappreciated. And some of you experience being unloved in your life. Some of you experienced abuse. Some of you experienced sexual abuse. It used to be just the girls were being sexually abused. It's 3 out of 5, I believe, and now it's 2 out of 5 boys are being sexually abused. Abused emotionally. Abused physically. Abused verbally. Listen, these are all wounds that are in the soulish man. Your spirit can be perfect because God lives inside of you. But the Lord wants to get into your soulish man and start bringing healing to your emotions. He wants to start bringing healing to your thinking. He wants to bring healing to your choices. God wants to restore you, make you a new man and a new woman. Not just so you can go to heaven, but that you can be the walking health on this planet. You see, God has called us to be healthy, spirit, soul, and body. God wants to restore you, wants to renew you, wants to make you powerful so that when your friends are in a position that they call out for God, there is somebody who's proven that God is always good and never bad. So, Pastor, does Jesus really care? You see, he's a Messiah that went through every kind of trial that you and I went through. Listen, he was rejected by his own family. His own family didn't even recognize that he was the Messiah. His mother and father might have, but the brothers and the sisters did not. In fact, it wasn't until after the resurrection of Christ that James, the brother of Jesus, how many of you read the book of James? That's the brother of Jesus, got saved. He didn't even recognize Christ as his Savior. He was rejected by his countrymen. He was rejected by the nation he was coming to restore. How many of you have ever sinned? And so we have rejected him too. You see, Christ has gone through these emotions and showed us that restoration can come and that healing can come and that you and I don't have to be the walking wounded, walking on this planet, but we can truly be that example that when somebody is wounded around you, you can have the healing notion. You can have the healing word. You can be the person that will bring them to the one who can restore their soul. You see, God has called you to be a powerful man and a powerful woman, not just to get people saved from hell, but to get them healthy while they're on this planet. Too. Jesus cares if you're wounded. Some of you have given up hope. God said, don't give up hope. You see, he cares for you so desperately and so deeply that he wrote these things right in his word so that you can know what his heart is for you. You see, he so desperately wants you to be healthy in every area of your life. He so desperately doesn't want you to lay in bed and cry and weep when nobody else is around because the wound that you had even a decade ago or some of you 20 years ago or some of you 30 years ago, he doesn't want it to affect you and to tear you down anymore. He loves you. Do you remember, if you've been a parent, do you remember when your baby, you know, they were old enough to know what was going on? And I'll give you an example. We were at the table the other day, and Sophia's at the house. And Sophia turns around. Hey, dude, you got gray hair. I get jealous of hair. Sophia turns around and bumps her head on the corner of the dining room table. She grabs her head and she just lets this blood-curdling cry out of her. And Rhonda and I both reached for her. Why? Because when the baby's hurt, babe, you don't just sit there and go, ha-ha, yeah, they banged their head. You might need counseling if you do that. But when that baby bangs their head and it's a genuine wound, you want to grab that child. You want to hold that child. You want to comfort that baby and let them know that everything's going to be okay. You're rubbing the wound. You want to bring a restoration so there is no more pain. Your Heavenly Father wants that for your life. He wants to hold you. But so many of us, we've never allowed him to do that. We've taken those wounds, baby, and we've shoved them so deep somewhere in the caverns of our mind, in the caverns of our life, that we don't want anybody to know or anybody to touch or anybody to think about. But Jesus is saying, listen, whether you like it or not, they're affecting your life. You need healing. You need restoration. Open your Bibles with me to James chapter 1. I love this verse because this is a verse that the Lord is so clear in how to make this happen in our lives. You see, a lot of people right now, I'm not against doctors. We have doctors in the house, and I went to the doctor the other day, and I'm going to have, Doc, can you look at me right after service? You don't mind? Why don't you look at my ankle? Somebody's telling me, you know, a bunch of people, the first thing they say is, I'm getting old. But 50 is not old. You know that, right? Hey, behave yourself.
I stepped out of my truck. And I put my foot on the ground, and from taking my foot off the pedal to put it on the ground, my foot just swelled right up. I didn't twist it, didn't do nothing to it. I don't know what happened to it. So I went to the doctor. See, I believe in doctors. I believe doctors can help you and give diagnoses, and then you got Dr. Jesus that you can also call on, and he's your divine healer, amen? Doctors are doing their best, and they'll help you, but you got to go to the divine healer as your number one. And so here we are, you know, I look at people and everyone's running to, I gotta be nice. They're running to go get pills. And I'm talking about here. I knew this lady, she went on antidepressant medication because she had her gallbladder out. Her doctor wanted to have a smooth transition. I'm not talking against you if you have medication, but I want you to recognize people go on medication to take the edge off their mind, or they'll drink a glass of wine a night to take the edge off the day. They'll have their beer at night to have the edge off the day. When really what it's showing is there's something inside of them that's in their soulish man that needs healing, because you should never need a drink to have peace. You should not have to take a medication to have the edge taken off, because let's be real, if your emotions, your soulish man is not restored, then when you come off those medications or when you stop drinking, you're going to have to learn how to deal with those emotions anyways. You're going to have to get healed by those in those emotions anyways. See, this portion in James chapter 1 is so awesome, because this is what it says. Ready? It says it in James 1:21. Get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word of God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to, shall power. It has the power to save your souls. He was talking to Christians here. He wasn't talking about saving them from their sins. He's talking about saving their soul. The word save there is sozo in the Greek, S-O-Z-O. And what it means is this. It means reupholstering. It means renewing. It means taking something that has been damaged. That's something that people are willing to cast away and making it brand new. I've told the story 1,000 times about Azure's grandmother, who was a reupholsterer. And I remember getting Ellen calling me to her house one day, and there was a couch that was there in her basement. She was getting to reupholster. And dogs had eaten this couch. I'm talking like it was one of those oldie goldies, and the stuffing was pulled. I know those dogs had to go get an operation to get all that styrofoam or that foam out of their bellies, because they ate that couch. And Ellen looked at me and she said, "You know what? In 1 week, this will be a brand new couch." You know, Ellen, she took all the stuffing out. She took the upholstery off. She took the springs out. But she never once changed the structure. You see, God has fearfully and wonderfully made you. He has so designed you intricately. That framework that he has created for you to be, don't you ever think that God wants to take it away. God has made you perfect. But the fact is, the dogs got on your couch. They peed on your couch. They ate your couch. They tore your upholstery. We're talking about your soulish man. You've had wounds that have been so deep that nobody wants to sit on your couch. But it's time for you to recognize God will take that. This is what Ellen did. I went back in 1 week and I saw that couch, and it looked absolutely brand new. Everything was, except for the frame, because she had restored it. That's the word sozo. God wants to get in your life. Some of you got those wounds that are so deep, you've hit them under the cushions. It doesn't change the fact that there's still a hole in the couch. The word of God is what's going to change you. And I have found this to be so powerfully true. And that is, the church no longer is in the word. The devil in his diabolical plot has gotten the church no longer to be saturated with the scriptures. Why is that? Because the enemy knows that the word of God will transform your soul. If your soul isn't transformed, you're the walking wounded.
So if he can get you to the place that you're not in the Word of God, for the Word of God will sozo, reupholster. It is supernatural. It is not something that is just in a book that you read. When you read it, the Word comes alive. It's called Rhema Word. It is called the Living Word. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word is alive. And the enemy knows that if you actually get into the Word, you're going to start getting healthy. And if you start getting healthy, you're going to start being dangerous. And if you start being dangerous, you're going to start affecting his kingdom. And if you start affecting his kingdom, he's going to lose souls. So the enemy has the church like this now. This is national statistics. Is that the average person goes to church once every 3 weeks in America. That if I want to get everybody on the same page, I got to preach the same sermon for 3 weeks in a row. And that most people are not going to a Bible study or opening their Bible at any point in time during the week. In fact, some of you have not opened the Bible once this week and you didn't even bring a Bible. You were hoping it was going to be up on the screen. And we sit back and we say, well, you know, that's the Bible. No, you understand. That's God's plan for your restoration. That you'll receive the engrafted Word of God that will sozo, reupholster your soul. That as you read the Word, a supernatural experience is happening. It is getting into your soulish man, your intellect, your emotions, and your will. And God is starting to transform you. He's starting to wash you with the Word. God is starting to take those old thoughts and renew them. God is starting to take those old wounds and starting to bind them up, because the Word of God and the anointing will make a man free. And God's Word is anointed to set men free. For he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Church, until we get back into the Word, the church is still going to be filled with the walking wounded. You see, Jesus, there's a statement in Psalms 107. He said, I sent my Word to heal you. The word heal there is Rapha, which means complete restoration, not just in your physical body, but also in your spirit and also in your soul. God wants you healthy. God wants you whole. But until we allow the Word of God to enter us, until we allow the Word of God to transform us, then we're probably going to go to heaven, but we're going to go pretty messed up. Some of you, these wounds, man, they're so alive. If I say them, they immediately, they jostle you. If someone walks into a room that you don't like, that you've been wounded by, you'll turn around and walk out. There are wounds that a scalpel of a doctor can never cut to. But God's Word will change you. But the church has abandoned the Word. They don't go to his house. They don't go to a Bible study, and they don't open the scripture during the week. And then they wonder why they're not prospering in all things. It's because you gotta have the key to open the door. God wants you healthy. You see, when you're healthy in your soul, you think different. Prosperity has nothing to do with what you got. Prosperity is how you think and how you believe. You see, and when you're not prosperous in your emotions, then you're always walking around with an open wound that if anybody even bumps, you yell at. You see, the other day, when I stepped out of that truck, I was going to get breakfast at Panera. And, I mean, literally, I didn't do nothing. I just stepped out. Didn't twist at nothing. And I literally walked into Panera like this. No, that's not a swag.
This is swag.
I was wounded. Now, I tried to cover it, so I didn't limp as much, but it hurt. I mean, it really, I came to the office, and we were praying that morning, and it actually got worse during prayer. And you know something? It made a difference how far I was going to walk that day. Everything in your soul that is not healed up affects where you go, what you do, and how you talk, and how you interact. And if the church doesn't get to the reality of saying, I've got to be healed. I don't want to just go to heaven. I want God to heal me in my soul. I want God to heal my emotions. I want God to take the sting and the cut away. I want God to get in there and start binding the wounds that nobody can touch, that nobody even knows about. I need God to heal my life. Until you get to that place, you'll continue to walk in wound. You'll continue to walk. Listen, you can try to find other people that will fill the hole. They will only fill it for a little bit because the wound will get infected. See, the word of God is imperative, and the church has abandoned the word. I've got to get done this morning. Psalms 147 verse 3 says this. He sent his word, that's Psalms 107 verse 20. He sent his word to heal them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalms 147 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Pastor, I had somebody say to me once, you know, you're pretty naive as a pastor. I said, really? I jostled in to hear this one. You're pretty naive to think that reading the Bible can actually do the work of a counselor. Now listen, I believe in counselors. I counsel. But I counsel, it's called biblical life management. I use the Bible to counsel with. Why? Because you can counsel, but any counselor that's not using the Bible is only using their soul. A soul cannot heal a soul. They can help you talk through things, but they can't heal it. This is why so many believers are running to the world for help, and God is saying, no, get in my word, get in my word, get in my word. Be faithful to the house of God. Get in a Bible study. Read the word every single day. Listen to the word while you're driving in your car. Let the word, his word will sozo your life. God will restore you. You don't even have to know what's going on, but the seed of the word. See, Matthew chapter 13 says the word is the seed. The seed that you allow in your life will automatically bring forth a harvest. And the harvest of God is always health, is always prosperity, is always blessing. Time to get into the word of God. It's time to repel. It's time to repel against our own mindset of how to get healthy. See, Jesus made the statement in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, that he came to heal the brokenhearted. See, some of you, you just need healing. The booze ain't going to do it for you. The boys and the girls ain't going to do it for you. The drugs ain't going to do it for you. Nobody's going to do it, man, that's going to make you healthy. But we try everything first besides Jesus. We try everybody first besides Jesus. And then many people will get done everything else and then say, well, it didn't work with God, but they never tried God. Today I challenge you. Some of you are so messed up inside. You got that stellar look on the out, man. No one would ever know you have an issue. No one ever know you have a wound. Some of you are carrying it from when you were a child, when your parents said something to you that was so devastating and so destructive. It made you gasp when you were a child, and it still makes you gasp today. Some of you had situations with your spouse that were so wounding, you just don't even know how to handle it. Your mind, your whole, your soul, everything is just wounded. But you won't get into the word. Why? Why? Until we get into the Word, then we cannot be reupholstered. Until we get into the Word, He cannot sozo us. Until we get into the Word, we cannot be restored. Until we get into the Word, that our lives will still remain wounded, no matter how good we take the couch that's all tattered and torn and peed on by the dog and put it in the closet. It's still in the closet, baby. You can still go sit on it when a memory is stirred. But it's time to clean the closet. It's time to get in there and allow God's Word to reupholster it. It's time to get in and get restored and get brand new cushions. It's time to get brand new springs. It's time to get brand new upholstery. It's time to be restored. You deserve it. Jesus already paid for it. It's yours. But you have to take it. And it does take some effort. You know, sometimes I'm pretty much done. I just turned it off. That's good news. You ever get a prescription from a doctor? Nobody's ever got a prescription from a doctor? Can you read their handwriting? Doc, how's your handwriting? No, that's bad. Watch now. Can you read the name of the drug they gave you? Listen, you wouldn't know what it was until they gave you the four pages that described the bad things that are going to happen when you take the good thing. But yet you'll take it. And I'll stand up here on Sunday morning and I'll show you that the Word of God is true and how to change your life. But you'll leave the prescription at the pharmacy and you'll visit it once a week and think that one dose is going to get you healthy deep down inside. I challenge you to be a person of the Word today. To be a person that will get into the Scriptures today. Well, Pastor, I don't know where to start. Listen, you have an app. It's called YouVersion on your phone. It's free. It actually reads the Bible to you. Really? Because I hate to read. Let the Bible be read to you. Well, is that the same? It feeds your spirit. Listen to it when you go to bed at night. Turn it on. You'll get used to the noise. Be faithful to the house of God. Join Rock Solid Faith. You know, my whole class always says to me, we don't understand why this is not full. I don't understand either. You need to join Rock Solid Faith. We have it Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and Thursday night. You need to join it. You need to have your life transformed because you need to know the Word. It's like having a way to be healthy. The answer is in your hand, but you never open the book to read how to do it. So this morning, I just want to challenge you. It's time to get healthy. You deserve to be healthy. Some of you got wounds from decades ago, man. Some of you got wounds in your 50, 60, 70-year-old. Man, God wants to heal you. Some of you are young and you've gone through traumatic situations, horrible rejection. And Jesus wants you to know He'll heal you and make you healthy. And you'll do great things for His kingdom. Today, it's time to be healthy. Amen? Will you bow your heads with me this morning? I'm going to have the prayer team come around, come up to the altar, please, real quickly, as Pastor David starts to play. You know, today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, none of these promises are even yours. But I know this, that you have enough faith to be saved. How do I know that? Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And I've been preaching for 2 hours straight. Just kidding. But I've given you enough faith. And you have a measure anyways to be saved. Today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, I want to introduce you to the best friend. Man, he's one that's going to heal you and restore you. He's the one that's going to make you a whole person. He's the one that's going to give you your destiny and your purpose. So every day when you lay your head down at night, you don't have to wonder if you've lived a life of regret or waste. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church or a religion. I want you to know Christ. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus and you know you're not right with God, I want you to raise your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room that needs Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? I'm not going to wait real long. Get your hand up. 5, 4, get your hand up. Thank you, young man. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. What's that? Right there. Oh, thank you very much, young lady. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, yep, last call. And one, Pastor, why do you do that? Because it might be your last call. It might be your last call. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Some of you are dealing with the wounds, and the Holy Spirit is now starting to deal with you on those wounds in your life. And I want to challenge you. Today is the day to start your healing. Today is the day to start getting the medication that you need in the Spirit to make you a whole person. Well, I'm tough. I can handle this myself. If you could, you already would have. I knew a lady who was spending $120 a week for counseling. Hey, I'll take $120 a week for your counseling. But the fact is that when she got a hold of the word, it changed her life. She didn't need to go back to the counselor. I'm not speaking against counselors. We have counselors in the church, but they use biblical life management. Today, if you're wounded and you need healing in your heart, you need your soul to be restored, today's your day to begin. I'd like you to bow your head with me this morning. Today, if you need restoration, you want God to start healing your soulish man, I want you to raise your hand up right now. Yes, hands are going up all over the place. Well, I'm not raising my hand. Well, you're a fool. If you have those wounds and you choose not to raise your hand, you're a fool. That means you're rejecting help. That's crazy. I want to pray for all those that didn't raise their hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, all those that didn't raise their hand, I thank you, Lord, that today you are starting working on them. Holy Spirit, we give you the freedom to meddle in our lives. We give you the freedom to go to those back corners that we have hidden ourselves from, Lord, and bring them out that we can become whole people. Lord, I thank you that those who raise their hand today, God, they've made a decision. I want to be changed. God, I thank you that today the change has begun. Lord, I thank you that today they're stepping out in faith to receive, Lord, what you have for them in your word. Lord, I speak a blessing over this house in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I declare in the name of Jesus that, Lord, no sickness has a right to befall our houses. I declare in the name of Jesus that, God, we will stand and not fall, that God will prosper in our finances, and that, Lord, this world will see that our God is good and our God is powerful and that he prospers his children. Lord, we declare blessing over this house in the name of Jesus. And everybody receiving it said, amen. If you raise your hand to have God start working on your heart, please make your way to the altar. Find someone to lay hands on you. Find someone to minister to you. Find someone to release the power of God in your life. Everyone else, I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. I'd love to see you Tuesday night, Rock Solid Faith at 7 p.m. There's childcare provided. If you're a guest this morning, we have a guest reception right on the right, my left side, your right side. Love to meet you over there right after service.